Join me as we pray together. Father, thank you. We are not miserable people. We are not pitiable. Christians are, or should be, the happiest people on this planet. It's not because of our circumstances. It's not because we have all the money in our accounts. It's not because we are not going through trials and tribulations. No, it's not. It is because we know of our final destination. It is because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, who has resurrected from the grave. We are not most pitied, as he mentioned here. We are not the most miserable people, but we are the happiest because we are in Christ. So when people see us, O Lord, let them see the resurrection of Jesus Christ in us. But teach us what we do not know, make us what we are not, and give us what we do not have. We ask all of this in Jesus' mighty and precious name. God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. The title for today's sermon is, What Would Happen If There Was No Resurrection? What would happen if there was no resurrection? I was thinking about just this title, and I'm thinking of what would happen if there was kind of like potato salad without mayo. It would be disastrous. Absolute disastrous. What would happen if I would have chicken, fried chicken, without ketchup? God, disgusting, right? So we could think of certain things in our life that, man, we need certain ingredients to complete something. And when it comes to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot have Christianity without the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot. When I think of this, I think of Thomas Jefferson, who was a third president of the United States and the author of the Declaration of Independence, and with several other founding fathers, they literally were influenced by this particular belief called deism. And deism is this sense of belief that God is kind of like this watchmaker, that he doesn't necessarily involve himself with his people. He just watches in heaven and he's far off. But also with deism, there is also the sense of not believing in Jesus's miracles and the supernatural. So one of the major things they don't believe in, people who believe in deism, they don't believe in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Thomas Jefferson hated all such miracles and such as the resurrection that he took a pen, a knife really, and he cut out certain scriptures and he pasted certain scriptures that he believed and he created his own Bible. And in that Bible, he did not believe in what the gospel writers believed about Jesus Christ. So all the miracles, all the supernatural in the Bible is completely taken out in Thomas Jefferson's Bible. The whole point is that Jesus is a morally good person, but Jesus cannot be this supernatural person. And you know, honestly, we have a lot of people in our culture today who just believe in Jesus more like the morally good Jesus, but not the Jesus who walked on water, not the Jesus who fed 5,000, right, with just a little bit of bread and fish, not the Jesus who resurrected from the grave, not the Jesus who healed people. And we notice this. When you believe in such a thing, then you take away from Jesus' humanity and also take away from Jesus' deity. And this is why the Apostle Paul wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 15, to encourage the church, to encourage the people, and by telling them, look, if you believe in Jesus, you have to believe in his resurrection. You must. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul defined the gospel for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 5. Notice very carefully what it says. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scripture, that he was buried and he raised on the third day in accordance with Scripture, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. So that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is all about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this another way to you. If you take away the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, then you take away the fact that Jesus died, that Jesus was buried, that Jesus resurrected for sure, and then you also take away your sins being forgiven. This is the purpose of Jesus dying on the cross and resurrecting so that we can be forgiven of our sins. So there are some major implications by removing the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But let me say these words to you, and it's the words of the great reformer Martin Luther. And notice what Martin Luther mentions. He says, live as though Christ was crucified yesterday, rose again from the grave today, and is returning tomorrow. Oh, he is absolutely right. So when we think of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, let's think of Martin Luther's words. Christ was crucified yesterday as if, rose again from the grave today, right? And returning tomorrow. With that said, this morning I want to share with you seven consequences that would result if there was no resurrection. So just imagine with me this catastrophe. Like it is horrible to even imagine potato salad without mayo or fried chicken without ketchup, right? And you imagine a catastrophe. Well, for me at least, I don't know for you. Some of you can eat that disgusting thing. That's up to you. Nevertheless, I want you to think of something even greater. Christianity without the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? That is not great faith. And that is not a Christianity that any of you would want to be a part of. And this is exactly what the Apostle Paul does here. He gives us seven consequences that result if there was no resurrection. What are they? Christ would still be in the grave. That's one. Two, preaching the gospel would be meaningless. Why preach the gospel? The gospel, by definition, is the word good news. Euangelion. You remove the resurrection, it is no longer good news. Right? Three, faith in Christ would be pointless. If there's no resurrection, if I die, I'll be in the grave, and I will rot in the grave, and I will never be resurrected myself. So what's the point of believing in a Savior that's been conquered by death? Four, witness and preachers of the resurrection would be liars. Think about all the apostles, the prophets of old, who proclaimed the glories of God. And that Jesus would return. But we would look at this and we would say, what's the point of reading the Old Testament? What's the point of listening to these guys? They were all liars. The apostles would be all liars. Also, we have five, all men would still be in their sin. This is the greatest implication here. You would still be in your sins if there's no resurrection. All former believers would have eternally perish. David, Rahab, Ruth. When we read stories about these people's faith, you know what completed their faith? Is knowing that they're spending eternity with God in heaven. So they would perish. What else do we have here? Paul tells us this as well. Seven Christians would be most pitiable people on the earth. The most miserable people on the earth. But we know those seven consequences are not true. They're not true. If you are in Christ, they're not true. If you believe in Scripture, these consequences are not true. But just imagine there was no resurrection. So point number one is this. Christ would still be in the grave. Friends, this is why doctrines matter. And believing in biblical doctrines matter. Learning biblical doctrines, it matter. And you know, here specifically, several of the Corinthians were dealing with this very belief of dualism. And dualism is a sense of believing that matter is evil, anything physical is evil, but the spiritual is good. And because of them believing in this philosophical view, they actually started believing that Jesus wasn't fully man. Jesus wasn't fully man. And some of them will actually believe in as well, because of that, because the matter and the body is evil, therefore there should be no resurrection. There cannot be any resurrection at all. Do you see how one bad belief can lead to other bad beliefs? One heretical view can lead to many other heretical views. And Paul is dealing with that because there are some of them in the church who were beginning to believe such a thing. And maybe for you today, the philosophical views of the world that are telling you Jesus is just a good person. He's not God. He's not God. Jesus didn't resurrect from the grave. You can still believe him because he's a good man. And you're beginning to think that way and saying, oh, you know what? Jesus is not God. Then you're starting to believe, I don't have to believe in the resurrection. I don't have to believe in these things for me to be a good Christian. Yes, you must. Yes, you must. So we too can be guilty of allowing certain philosophical views to come and hinder us. And the Apostle Paul is saying, if Christ was not raised, then this is what will happen to you. How can you believe in such a thing? You know, as I think about this very passage of scripture, I think of this amazing couple who wrote to him because he lives. And the Gaithers, in the 1960s, when they wrote this hymn, they were struggling with just a lot of things. They had three children, and the third one was a baby, and they were beginning to think of, how can I raise my children in this perverse world? Does that sound similar? We're thinking of the same thing. And notice what they were dealing with. They were dealing with drug-infested communities. They were dealing with racial tension among people in the 60s. And they were also dealing with people who actually said God was dead. They were pronouncing, God is dead. We don't believe in a God. Does that sound familiar? In the 60s, and we're still dealing with the same thing today, right? So the Gaithers decided, you know what? God, we cannot believe in this because we're crippled and paralyzed by fear. So God, help us. And God gave them this beautiful hymn. And notice, can I read this hymn over you? In one of the stanzas, this is what it mentions. And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory. And I'll know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Yes, he lives. We do not serve a dead God in the grave. Rather, we serve a living God. A living God. Notice for me the second point. The second point here. Right? Second consequences, without the resurrection, if there's no resurrection, preaching the gospel would be meaningless. What is the gospel? The Greek word gospel is euangelion, good news. For something to be good news, it must benefit us tremendously. And what's great about the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ is that your sins have been forgiven. This is the good news, that Jesus Christ came. Jesus lived, he was born of virgin birth, he lived a perfect sinless life, he died upon the cross, crucified, died upon the cross, buried, resurrected, and ascended into heaven. This is great news. Great news. Well, let's just say you take the resurrection out. Then that's bad news. Because our Jesus would be just like Confucius and Buddha and Allah and all the other false gods in this world. Where are they? In the grave. But that's not our Jesus. He lives. He's resurrected. G. Payton, a 19th century missionary to Southeast, met opposition after leaving his home in Scotland. There were some cannibals and people, you know what cannibals are, they eat people. And as he was going to minister to them, some meaningful Christians approached him and said this to him, the cannibals, you'll be eaten by the cannibals. And with no hesitation, G. Payton says this. Oh, I love this. Coming closer. I confess to you that if I can live and die serving my Lord Jesus, it makes no difference to me whether I'm eaten by cannibals or by worms. For in the great day of resurrection, my body will rise as fair as yours in the likeness of our risen Redeemer. The cannibals, no match for this great Savior who resurrected. Cancer have no match. Illness, no match. Death, no match. Terrorists, no match. Accidents, no match for the power of Jesus' resurrection. This is why we must believe in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And preaching is not meaningless. It's not that we can go and preach the gospel to people and tell them to turn from their sins and turn to Jesus. Why? Because there is meaning, there's purpose in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The third point here, faith in Christ would be pointless. No resurrection. What's the point of faith? What's the point of being a Christian? What's the point of living to make much of God? What's the point of not being mean to others, right? And living your life holy, a holy life, an obedient life, pursuing Jesus. There'll be no point if there's no resurrection. But there is a point, because there is a resurrection. A dead Savior could not give life. But our Savior is not dead. He's not in a manger. He's not on the cross. He's not in the grave. He resurrected. You know what I like? It's the next thing. He's ascended. The ascension of Jesus is also important, right? Because he's ascended to his full glory. This is the God we serve. Coming closer. Coming closer. Grab hold of this. If there is no resurrection of Jesus Christ, then all believers of all ages would have believed for nothing, lived for nothing, and died for nothing. I don't know about you, but I don't like to do things for nothing. I am very calculated. If I'm going to spend time doing something, I want to make sure it's real and it's true. And the most real thing I can tell you on this planet is faith in Jesus Christ. I have tasted it. It has transformed me. I'm not up here like a car salesman every Sunday trying to sell Christianity to you. If you're a car salesman, I'm sorry. I'm not here to sell anything. I am convinced. I've tasted it. And it is transforming my life every single day. That's the beauty of the gospel. It is not meaningless. Four, witnesses and preachers of the resurrection would be liars. You see what the Apostle Paul mentioned here? All the witnesses of the Old Testament, think about that. David, who prophesied about the Messiah to come. Isaiah. Jeremiah, all of them, including the apostles, would be liars. But listen to me very carefully. No one, coming closer, no one would die for a lie unless you are absolutely a lunatic. But you cannot tell me over 500 people or even more died for a lie. Not one of them said, oh, hold up, don't kill me. I was just lying. Not one of them. I think even in a natural sense, intuitively, we understand that, man, I would not even be punished for a lie. Like Gabby, not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, Gabby was eating some cookies, and I said, Gabby, that's enough. Put it down. She grabbed the cookie, and she put the cookie in the back of her, in the back like this, and she's hiding, and she would grab the cookie, eat it, and put it right back. And I looked at her, and I said, Gabby, do you have the cookie in your hand? No. I said, I want to give you one more chance. Is the cookie in your hand? Okay, because she's my baby girl, I had to give her another chance, so I'm sorry. I said, Gabby, I will spank you if you lie to me. Not even Gabby would be spanked for a lie. And we think that the apostles are going to die for a lie? Not even 2-year-old understand the consequences of being spanked for a lie. Well, I'm lying. There it is, Dad. There it is. You don't think the apostle would have done the same thing? No. As a matter of fact, they did the opposite. When Peter saw his wife being crucified, he went to his wife and he says, woman, endure the cross. When Matthew was being crucified, walking to his cross execution in Ethiopia, he stretched out his hands toward the cross and says, oh, cross, how I long for you. Are you serious? If this was a lie, wouldn't you say, oh, I'm sorry, I recant. This is a serious lie. No, that's not what they did. Fifth, it would all be in our sins. No resurrection, no forgiveness. No resurrection, no forgiveness. We would all be in our sins. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, and the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the wages of sin is death. No resurrection, no forgiveness. Coming closer, write this down if you can. If Christ was not raised, his death was in vain. Our faith in him is in vain. Our sins are still counted against us. This is the beauty of Christianity, man. I can finally breathe. There's just not this overwhelming feeling in my heart because of my sin. And when God came and saved me from my sins, saved me of my sins, I can breathe. Why? Because there is peace with God and peace that comes from God. This is the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. What else do we have here, friends? All former believers would have eternally perish. All of the believers in the Old Testament that we absolutely love. We're reading about Moses, and we read about Abraham and Sarah and Jacob and Joseph in the book of Genesis. And we're reading about Moses and Aaron. And we're reading in the Old Testament also in 1 Samuel about David and Jonathan, right? We're reading about these people, Samuel, and we are thankful for these people. If there's no resurrection, that's it. They're gone. That's it. And I don't know about you, but if I could believe in something like this, what's the point of me pursuing anything? And I'm living for heaven. This is my final destination. Why? Because I believe in the resurrection of my Lord Jesus Christ. You get this. And then finally, friends, finally, no resurrection. Christians would be the most pitiable people on the earth. Let's just say on the planet. In the universe. But that's not the truth. We are not the most miserable people. We are the happiest, or should be the happiest. Why? Because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is no longer in the grave. He has ascended. And that's the God that we serve. We serve a good God. So I want to share this with you. And listen to me very carefully. I've given you some negative things to understand. Let's look at the positive. Why is the resurrection important? because of the resurrection, we know that death has been conquered, and we too will be raised from the dead to live forever with Christ. So when I think of all former believers, I'm not just thinking about the Old Testament saints. I am thinking about also the reformers and brothers and sisters in that time, right? Right? I'm thinking of Martin Luther and John Huss, where we got this phrase, the goose is cooked because he was burned at the stake for his belief in Jesus. Oh, John, I would like to see you, buddy. Oh, John, thank you for your faith. The goose is no longer cooked. He's ready, and he's serving Jesus right now. This is the beauty. I'm thankful for Jonathan Edwards. I'm thankful for Tim Keller, who just died recently, right? Thankful for him that he preached faithfully and that he's in heaven. And you are thankful for Christians in your own life who have passed away, that you will spend eternity with them. That's the beauty of Christianity, friends. That's the beauty of the resurrection. That all your loved ones who believe in Jesus, you will spend eternity with them in heaven. Only Christianity can do this, and only because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection gives authority to the church's witness to the world. I mean, look at the early evangelistic efforts in the book of Acts. I mean, these guys and girls were just phenomenal. You know, I will say this, they were dangerous in a good sense because there's nothing you can do to them. They didn't care about death. They just wanted the whole world to know about Jesus. So in the early chapters of Acts, they're just constantly going and going and sharing. They're being persecuted, but yet they're still going. So it helps. It gives us great authority in sharing the gospel. That's the power of the resurrection. The resurrection helps us in finding meaning even in great tragedy. So no matter what happens to us as we walk with the Lord, the resurrection gives us hope for the future. Like G. Payton said, whether I'm eaten by worms or by cannibals, man, I am excited about the resurrection. Whether it's cancer or an accident or murder or just natural death that takes you home one day, if you're a Christian, you are thankful for the resurrection. What else do we have? The resurrection assures us that Christ is alive and ruling his kingdom. He's not a legend. He is alive and he is real. And finally, God's power that brought Jesus back from the dead is available to us so that we can live for him in an evil world. That's exactly the concept and the implication that the Gaithers gleaned on when they're thinking about their children being raised in a perverse world. You know what gave them great power? God's power in his resurrection, because he lives. He lives. I can face tomorrow. Is that you this morning? We're here to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But can I ask you a question? Do you really believe it? Or you believe in the philosophical views of this world? I can't believe in the supernatural. I cannot believe in the resurrection. Jesus wasn't fully man, but he was a good person. No. He was fully man. He was fully God. And we are thankful for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Join me as we pray together. Father, thank you so much for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the resurrection, that you resurrected him from the grave. What I love about Scripture is that Jesus says no one takes his life, but he gives it. But God, as we observe the resurrection of Jesus, the Trinity was involved. Jesus resurrected himself. The Spirit resurrected Jesus. The Father resurrected Jesus. What an amazing picture we have in the power of our God. We see the Trinity at play in the resurrection. So God, I pray that we can look at the resurrection and be thankful for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, because if our God was resurrected from the grave, we too will be resurrected. That's another great implication. When it's our time to die, when it's our time to meet our Maker, we know that we will not just rot in the grave, but we'll spend eternity with our Savior. Thank you for that. In your mighty and precious name, amen.